This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
We'll call the meeting to order. Good morning to all our internet listeners, all two of you. Remember, everybody, to turn off your cell phones. If you don't, the chair gets to determine where the money goes, and we have a lot of good causes. We'll have the secretary go ahead and call the roll.
Representatives Bartling.
Here.
Beal.
Here.
Duvall. Hager.
Here.
Killer.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Latterell.
Here.
May.
Here.
Nordstrup.
Here.
Rasmussen.
Here.
Russell. Wick.
Here.
Willitson.
Here.
Rosum.
Here.
Solem.
Over here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Secretary. We'll move forward and have you approval of the minutes if you've read them.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Willitson.
Willitson moves to approve the minutes, and I have read them.
Yeah, that's good. We count on you for that. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Thank you. I think at this point we've got two pages. We'll have you introduce yourself and tell us what you're up to, where you're going.
Okay, my name is Lauren Rink. I'm from James Valley Christian in Huron, and after high school, I don't really know yet, maybe communications and political science mix, maybe? Go Yotes.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kaylee Schmidt. I'm a senior from Tierra High School, and I'm going to go to Black Hill State next year to study business.
Thank you. And may I remind you, if you'd like to testify, please sign in at the back. Thank you very much. Where are we moving? I think we're ready to go for bills, and I'll remind you that if you have questions, please direct everything through the chair, and I will recognize you. So we'll go ahead with HB 1177, which is to revise certain provisions concerning tax incentives for certain energy facilities, and we have our own chair right there. Thank you, Representative Solem.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, members of the Tax Committee. You look really nice from this side of the counter this morning. Roger Solem, State Representative, District 5 in Cottington County. Many of you know that I've been a big supporter of the wind industry, and a few years back I chaired a summer study to try to determine how South Dakota can be competitive with our neighboring states with wind energy development. Okay, now you may ask, what does House Bill 1177 have to do with wind energy? The answer is nothing and everything. And last year, after a number of years of discussion, this legislature passed a bill that makes wind energy development more competitive with our surrounding states. This year, I'm asking you to consider large-scale solar facilities in that same light. New developments in photovoltaic cells, and this is show and tell, and I can use props. I cleaned out the classroom. Would you mind just starting with Representative May and have them pass that down the road? New developments in photovoltaic cells, or PV panels such as this one, have not only allowed increased output but have also significantly reduced the price of this type of equipment. While you see many PV panels such as these on homes, utility boxes, and even ice shacks, the output of these small installations are too low to provide any benefit to our electric power consumers. The installations we're addressing in this bill are those that produce over 5 megawatts and are considered power production facilities, just as we consider a wind farm. House Bill 1177 is a bill that would take large-scale solar facilities, and by that I mean solar facilities, as I said, greater than 5 megawatts, and place them under the production tax model, similar to the legislation that was agreed to last year concerning wind farms. Currently, if someone built one of these facilities in South Dakota, they'd be taxed based on the value of the assets that comprise the facility. And while technologies are improving, the tax as it exists today would make construction or the taxing portion of this a whole lot more expensive here in South Dakota than, say, for example, Minnesota. Almost five times higher here than Minnesota. House Bill 1177 and the rates as set by the amendment to the bill provide that the owners of a large-scale solar facility in South Dakota will pay a tax on the actual energy that they produce and not on the value of the assets used in the facility. This is the same tax structure as a wind farm today. Solar facilities will also pay the same as wind farms, which is a capacity tax based on the size of the plant. These taxes will be distributed according to South Dakota law as it is today and does not attempt in any way to change the distribution of revenues collected from a solar facility or a wind farm. As you will hear from the proponents, there are no known solar facilities over 5 megawatts that are on the board or planned by any developer for South Dakota. This bill is not a tax break for a project. This bill only sets the table so that developer can look at South Dakota for future developments in solar. Madam Chair, I have an amendment that I would like to have distributed. Contents of the amendment will be discussed by a follow-on proponent. And with that, Madam Chair, I would appreciate your favorable consideration for House Bill 1177.
Thank you, Representative Solem. Do we have any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Julie Volk with NextEra Energy Resources. I'm here this morning to provide information about my company, NextEra Energy Resources, and I'm also here to support House Bill 1177, including the amended version that you will be receiving shortly. Each of you are currently receiving a copy of a facility that my company is building in neighboring state Minnesota, and I'll spend a little bit of time talking about that a little bit later. I am the Director of Regulatory and Legislative Affairs for NextEra. In this responsibility, I manage regulatory and legislative affairs in the Midwest, including South Dakota. NextEra Energy Resources is a company headquartered in Florida. We were formerly known as Florida Power and Light. Some of you might remember us as that name. When we were developing our wind projects in the state, we developed under that name. We have nearly 5 million customer accounts in Florida. NextEra Energy is the parent company that has Florida Power and Light, the utility, as well as NextEra Energy Resources, the development company that I work for. Combined, the company with both companies has about 46,000 megawatts of generating capacity across the country, also in Canada. We have over 14,000 employees. NextEra Energy Resources, the development arm of the company that I'm part of, has 20,000 of those megawatts, and we have those in 25 states across the country, including Canada and Spain, as well as South Dakota. We operate three wind farms in South Dakota. We have a total of 190 megawatts. This represents $400 million in investment. We spend about $1.6 million each year in payroll. We pay about $900,000 in production and capacity taxes on those wind farms. And we also pay about $800,000 a year in lease payments to the local landowners. So it's a significant economic impact on the South Dakota economy. NextEra has also made significant investments in utility-scale solar projects. We have 850 megawatts throughout the United States and Canada. Most of the projects that we've invested in are in the desert southwest. That's where the solar resource is the strongest. We have three facilities in Southern California. We also have a facility in New Mexico. We have smaller facilities in Florida, also New Jersey, and a couple facilities in Ontario. We continue to look for opportunities to expand solar projects where they make sense across the U.S. Now, focusing more specifically on the bill that my company's asking that you support. House Bill 1177 proposes to change the tax methodology for utility-scale solar projects, and my company considers those to be 5 megawatts and greater, and that, I believe, dovetails with the way things are structured in South Dakota. And the proposed bill would use the same tax methodology that was approved last year for wind facilities. Capacity and production tax would be based on the actual output of the facilities. We support this tax methodology for solar projects. It would make the taxing methodology consistent with wind facilities. It would also improve the economics of the projects by lowering the total taxes that were paid and improving the economics. Just to give you an example of how the House bill would change things, we have looked at developing projects here, and we looked at a 30-megawatt size project that would operate with a 22 to 23% capacity factor. And under the bill, we estimate that the taxes would be around $150,000 a year. With the current tax methodology, that tax would be over $700,000 a year. Right now, solar projects are just not a competitive resource in the Midwest, and that's primarily because the solar resource is not as strong as in the desert southwest. As I mentioned, we are looking at a project in Minnesota, and the reason that project is moving forward is Minnesota has a policy to meet a solar renewable energy standard. And so there is some solar projects that are being considered. The handout that I gave to you talks about the solar project that we're in the process of getting approval for. It's called the Marshall Solar Project. It's on the western side of South Dakota, or of Minnesota, bordering South Dakota. At the bottom of the handout, there's a little example explaining how the power's produced, taking energy from the sun, warms up the solar panels, which converts the solar energy to electricity. Representative Solem sent around example of some small-scale solar panels, and then that power is transmitted across the transmission lines. There's also some information about the size of the project and the layout of the facility where we will be building. Utility-scale projects in the upper Midwest, pricing wise, are somewhere in the range of $65 to $85 a megawatt hour. These prices are 2 to 3 times higher than what a new wind project would cost. So if you're looking at just project economics, solar does not compete with other technologies. if we have the tax change in methodology that House Bill 1177 is looking at, we believe the impact on a purchase power agreement would be in the range of $5 a megawatt hour. So if we're in the $65 to $85 range, it still doesn't close the price gap between solar and wind facilities, but it does set the table for us to consider projects, and we believe that the technology for solar facilities is going to improve, just like we saw on the wind side, where projects for initial technologies were higher priced, and then as the industry became smarter, research and development continued to improve the technology, the resource became more cost competitive. NextEra supports this bill, and I thank you for allowing me to testify this morning. I would look forward to your support in amended House Bill 1177.
Thank you, Ms. Volk. Would you like us to pass the amendment at this point or look at the amendment at this point, deal with the amendment?
Yes, we agree with
okay.
the amendment.
Thank you.
I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the amendment.
Thank you. 1177FB has been moved by, Representative Duval, seconded by Representative Hager. Is there any discussion on this amendment, or anybody like to address this amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The amendment is passed, and we'll go ahead with any further proponent testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Hunter Roberts with the Governor's Office. We rise in support of 1177 as amended. I will just give a little background on the amendment and why it's there. First of all, thank you to NextEra and the people in the utility industry for this discussion. Representative Solem's been a good leader in renewable energy, and I guess he's broadened his horizons to include solar now. As I think some of us in this room have learned, the best time to develop an incentive is before there's projects in the ground than after. You know, it gets complicated when you're looking at different tax schemes over several years, which we did last year on wind energy. So thank you for bringing that forward. The amendment is something that we suggested from the governor's office and Department of Revenue as a way to kind of even up the taxes that that local community is going to get. If you look at it, it is exactly twice the rate of what wind energy produces. But in the alternative, solar energy produces less than half of what wind energy produces in South Dakota. So those capacity factors, we thought it was just a way to kind of even up what that effective tax rate is going to be for renewable energy in South Dakota. You'll notice from the amendment and the existing law, we do not target, it's just for projects 5 megawatts and larger. In current South Dakota statute, there is an incentive for projects 5 megawatts and under, you know, more of the smaller to mid-size solar projects for that allow them to get a reduction in their assessed value of up to 70%. So that gets them pretty close to the same rate as this. So just be aware of that. We're not leaving the smaller projects out of the sun. There is an incentive there for them. So with that, I encourage you to support the bill. Solar technology keeps improving. I remember when, you know, 8-9 years ago when I started in the energy sector, solar projects were in that 15 to 20 cents per megawatt hour or per kilowatt hour, and now they're in that 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour. So the technology's drastically improved, and if it keeps doing that, we will have some projects in South Dakota. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Pier, a registered lobbyist for Iberdrola. We just wish to lend our support to 1177 as amended and thank the sponsor and the parties who have appeared before you for putting this together. We appreciate it and would hope you can support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennecke. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? We'll entertain opponent testimony. Anyone out there that wants to oppose this opponent testimony? Great. Well, I don't think we need a rebuttal in that case, do we? Do we have committee? We'll open it for committee questions. Representative Hager.
Madam Chairwoman, I do have a question for the next era representative. Good morning. We're glad you're here. Maybe that's why the sunshine is here. It seems appropriate that we talk about a solar tax incentive today. My question is, in a typical pro forma, as you do your analysis on a project, what percentage of the cost is the tax?
That's a great question.
Do you have your mic on, by chance? Thanks.
Can you hear me now?
Maybe identify yourself to this.
Yeah. Madam Chair and Committee, Julie Volk with NextEra Energy Resources. The question was, what percentage of the price is the tax? It really depends on where the technology is, and as the technology improves, the tax becomes a much more significant portion. So right now, with the price being in the $65 to $85 range, and this tax reducing it by about $5, it's a much smaller portion. I guess I'd have to think about the math there rather than do that in my head. But just to give you an idea, the differential here would be about $5. So the improved price would be somewhere in the 5 to 10% range, the improvement, to give you a handle on that. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have any further questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Lateral.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the prime sponsor. I just wanted to ask if you could compare the tax scheme that we're talking about for wind and solar with the tax scheme that we have for traditional coal fire and natural gas power plants, and how we treat those in tax scheme compared to this.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm not certain if I can answer that. You're almost talking apples and oranges. Yeah, maybe Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Roberts.
Madam Chair, Representative Lateral, that's a good question. The short of it is they're much lower. The way utilities, so let's say the Big Stone power plant up in Big Stone County, the way that coal fire plant's assessed is a central assessment by the state taking at their commercial value. So it's a set rate that would be higher than this. And then the way wind and solar is a set production tax rate that's a pretty low number. That being said, there is an additional tax that a natural gas plant or a coal-fired power plant would pay sales tax because they have to purchase their fuel source, whereas wind and solar do not. It's free. So I hope that helps answer your question.
Any further questions, Representative? Do you have any further questions? Look of consternation down there. Okay. Well, then we would, if there's no further questions, we'd entertain action. Discussion, action. Go ahead, Representative Hager.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move do pass.
We have a do pass, Representative Hager. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second would be Representative Beal. We have any further discussion? Representative Hager, anything you'd like to say?
In the words of my fellow representative from Sioux Falls, it's a good bill. We should pass this.
Thank you. Okay. So we have a do pass as amended for HB 1177 with no further discussion or questions. The secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Batterell.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Rosam.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
15 yay.
Thank you. We have 15 yay, 0 nay. 1177 has passed. Yes. We have a motion for consent from Representative Duvall, a second from Representative Kirschman. Anything you'd like to say? All right. Do we have anybody objecting to consent for 1177? Yes, Ms. Representative Rasmussen.
I agree with this bill, and I think that everybody on the floor should hear it. I think it's something new. I think everybody would like it on the floor, but the more educated we all are, I think the better.
So I think that's a good idea. We'll go ahead and take this bill to the floor. Representative Solem, that would be you. Representative Kirschman, would you like to handle that one in your caucus, please? Okay, thank you. We'll move on to HB 1179, and this is a bill to revise certain provisions regarding the exemption of certain boats from the excise tax on large boats. Proponent testimony, please. Thank you, Representative Boland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim Boland, State Representative, District 16. I represent all of Union County and the southern rural portion of Lincoln County. Members of the House Taxation Committee, today I bring to you House Bill 1179, a measure that will raise the tax exemption on boats older than 11 years from the current level of $2,200 to $2,500. This bill is being brought at the request of a number of county treasurers who desire that the boat exemption and the car exemption be kept the same, so that the possibility of errors would likely be minimized in the various county treasurers' offices. This bill will result in the loss of revenue to the state of $6,342, and the money from this tax is deposited in the state general fund. Why this money is deposited in the general fund and not the highway fund is unknown to me. I want to emphasize that this is not $60,000 or $600,000, but again is $6,342, and that figure comes from the Department of Revenue. I believe we should pass this bill so that we can maintain the standardization of exemptions for the county treasurers who serve us so well. This is the companion bill that I told you would be coming during the discussion concerning House Bill 1196, the previous bill that brought about modest increases in the motor vehicle excise tax. I want to thank you for passing that bill, House Bill 1196, and urge your speedy approval of this companion measure as well. For the small sum involved, again, $6,342, I believe this is a wise adjustment. Again, I urge your support. I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Boland. Do we have any further proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghuysen, registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials, which includes your county treasurers. We rise in support of Representative Boland's bill. I think I can demonstrate an anomaly that will occur if the previous legislation that's gone through the House and is currently over in the Senate, which is actually House Bill 1098, if it passes, it will leave treasurers, and this one doesn't, it will leave treasurers with the unenviable position of having to discriminate between when someone brings in a title to transfer a boat on a trailer, while the trailer is under the motor vehicle registration laws. So the new threshold that's been established in 1090A, assuming it passes the Senate, would apply to the trailer, but the old threshold, which Representative Boland's bill attempts to modify with this bill, would stay the same. So they'd have to make the distinction in value between the two. So I would encourage your support on this bill, and I would be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghusen. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Do we have any opponents hiding behind the poll today? Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the House Taxation Committee. My name is Jim Toliger. I'm with the Bureau of Finance and Management. I certainly understand where the proponents are coming at in terms of House Bill 1179 and trying to be consistent with House Bill 1098 that was passed over to the Senate. With that said, though, the boat tax right now, I would argue that 1179 doesn't really make it that much more consistent, because the boat tax right now is the only tax, only excise tax that's collected that is now at the 3% rate. All the other excise taxes that are collected as a result of Senate Bill 1 from last year are now at the 4% rate. And so even if you're trying to make things more consistent, we still have a differential in the tax rate between boats and vehicles and our trailers. And so for that reason, it is a loss of $6,300 to the state general fund, certainly not a huge amount. And also the argument was of which House Bill 1098, in terms of, you know, a vehicle is a need to try and help out lower income people. The boat exemption is more of a want versus a need in terms of trying to help low-income people. And so I'd respectfully ask that you would oppose House Bill 1179, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Do we have any further opponent testimony? Any further opponent testimony? Representative, would you like to have a short rebuttal?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very briefly, you know, I served on appropriations for 4 years, and we use it sometimes on appropriations, we use those terms bleeders and spenders, and some people might call this a bleeder. I would call this a pinprick as far as the amount of revenue that might be lost. The other thing I'd like to say is please keep in mind the boats that are going to be receive this additional $300 exemption in the law, it states that they have to be over 11 years old. We're not talking about new boats, and I'm not a boat owner. I'm just not a big water person. That probably goes back to an early experience in my life, which I'm not going to talk about here. But these are not new items. These are not things that people are just buying at a particular boat show or something like this. All of the only way you get this exemption has to be over 11 years old. So again, I think the need to help the county treasurers in particular is really the you know, you learn through the process, and that's why this bill is being brought forward. And I'd urge your support. And that's all I have to say. And again, it's not a bleeder; it's a pinprick. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have any committee questions? Go ahead, Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the department, my question would be, is there a difference in the appearance of a car title and a boat title? I mean, are they like a different color or that type of thing?
Madam Chair, Representative Willitson, I don't know. I'm not with the Department of Revenue. I'm with the Budget Office, so I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry.
Representative Willitson, do you have any further questions? Are there any further questions of the committee? Representative Hagar, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I do have a question for Mr. Tellinghusen. So the Department of Revenue is concerned about the $6,300, and I'm wondering how much, if you've done any preliminary analysis on the additional cost to the counties of attempting to manage these differences if we don't pass this bill in terms of man hour and programming and so on.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Hager. Quite honestly, no. To my knowledge, we have not done any type of cost-benefit analysis or time study to determine how much extra time will be required to separate out the value of the trailer from the value of the boat when someone comes in to register. In all candor, I suspect it's probably not a great deal of time. It's more a matter of remembering to do it and then simply doing the math. So,
any further questions? Do we have any other questions coming from the committee today? We've moved to committee discussion and or action. Yes, Representative Bartlett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move do pass on House Bill 1179.
Do pass, Representative Bartling. Second, Representative Latterell. Anything that you would like to comment on, Representative Bartling?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the fact is, in the language right now, any boat that's 11 years old or more right now is actually exempt at the $2,200. This is just an additional $300. I don't think it's a burden at all on the state should we do this. And quite frankly, I don't know if you got a boat that's 11 years old and $2,200, I don't know if you've got much of a boat. So I don't know that I'd be going fishing in one. So I just think this is only common sense. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And the chair will comment just a moment, because actually it was my treasurer that brought this because of the inconsistency. And historically, within a few years, then we've moved the boats to match. And she said you're always in the position of having to explain. So that's the reasoning to make it more consistent. So we'll go ahead and move. We have a motion on the floor and a second to revise provisions regarding the exemption of certain boats from excise tax on large boats at HB 1177. Representative Willitson.
Madam Chair, I'd do a substitute motion to the 41st day.
We have a substitute motion. A second. Motion fails. So we'll go ahead and go to the do pass motion on HB 1179, and the Secretary will call the vote.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Duval.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
No.
Rosen.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
We have 14 yay and one nay.
We have 14 yay, 1 nay. HB 1179 has passed. I'll take that to our side. Let's see, Representative Bartling, would you like to handle it in your caucus? Thank you very much. Oh, yes. Would you like to handle that, Representative Boland? It's your bill, or would you like me to? You can make the pick.
I'll take care of it since I sponsored it.
That would be great. Thank you, Representative Boland. I forget sometimes. So we'll move on to HB 1204, which is to provide a sales tax exemption for certain nonprofit corporations created for the purpose of fire protection. And we have Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. David Anderson, representative from District 16. You're kind of getting a full dose of District 16 this morning. Hopefully you're as kind to me as you were to the previous representative. House Bill 1204 comes to you as a result of kind of a unique situation that we have in the Canton community. And it's maybe not so unique, but it's just become known in the Canton community. The situation we have is the city of Canton has a fire department and owns fire department trucks. Municipalities clearly exempt from sales and use tax, and excise tax for that matter. No question about that. In Canton, the firemen themselves, the volunteers, have their own nonprofit 501c3, and they lend their services to both the city and to the rural community to actually do the job of fighting fire. The rural community also owns trucks and equipment, and has for decades operated as an unincorporated association. about 6 or 8 years ago, one of the township board members that's part of this unincorporated association discovered that it is, in fact, an unincorporated association, and he said, that's not good. And quite frankly, I don't know how unincorporated associations own trucks, have vehicles titled in their name, and all of that going on. That being said, he started working on the process of creating a fire district. And at that time, I was a member of the volunteer firemen in Canton. And I said, you know, we really don't want to create another level of government, another taxing level of government, making the fire department, the firemen, so to speak, responsible for looking at property values and determining levies and trying to work all of that. That's really a duplication of effort because the townships are already doing that. And so rather than creating a fire district, but in order to get us into some sort of a legal status, we created a nonprofit corporation for those townships, rural areas around the city of Canton, to collectively operate and own trucks. I should correct that. They do not operate. They strictly own the equipment because the firemen, as a separate organization, do all of the operation. Okay, moving fast forwarding to today, this rural association is looking at purchasing a new pumper truck. And if you know anything about fire equipment, we're talking $300,000 to $400,000. Having gone through a few years ago this reorganization, this particular attorney, who is still a member of the township board, thought, you know, I better just make sure with Department of Revenue that we're all in line here to be tax exempt. And in checking with Department of Revenue, we found that we are, in fact, exempt from excise tax. So, in other words, the cab and the chassis, there will be no tax on it because this is a fire truck for the purpose of fire protection. However, the statutes did not allow for the exemption to apply to the sales and use component of the state's tax structure. And so, in other words, the tank, the pump, all the equipment that goes on the back end of the cab and chassis is going to be subject to sales and use tax. Now, I looked at that and I thought, that just doesn't make sense. This is a fire protection. It is an entity that's totally controlled and operated by nonprofit or by municipality, the townships who are all exempt. That's certainly not the intent of state law to tax firefighting. And so I had LRC draft a bill, and that's the bill that you see in front of you, 1204. It's simply on lines 12 and 13, adds less than a sentence. However, Department of Revenue took a look at this bill and said, that's not the right section. It's not the way we want it structured. And so I have an amendment, Madam Chair, if I may have that passed out.
Go ahead.
And clearly, all this amendment does is move the concept of making this fire department tax exempt for sales and use tax on their firefighting equipment, moves it into different sections of the code, really a new section, I guess, is what they're actually doing, rather than incorporating it into the existing 1045.10 section. The first paragraph, as you will see, deals with the exemption from sales tax, and the second one, exemption from use tax. Now, remember, the Department of Revenue drafted this for me. They are here today to answer any questions. I don't think they intend to testify for the bill, for or against it. They, generally speaking, are supportive. They all understand the concept that this firefighting is expected to be a tax-exempt operation. And so with that, and however you would like to have that amendment moved, Madam Chair, I will stand by for questions and let you take it from there.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. We have before us Amendment 1204FA. Do we have anybody that would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Representative Kirschman?
Second.
Second, Representative Solem. Do you have anything to say, Representative Kirschman?
Sure.
Thank you. Do we have any questions at this point or anything on 1204-FA? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 1204-FA has passed to amend House Bill 1204. Do we have any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Steve Willard. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Joint Fire Council. The Fire Council is comprised of the volunteer organizations, the EMTs, the chiefs, the arson investigators, and the unions. It's essentially the umbrella group for fire service. And I just wanted to step up this morning and put a little bit in context, and I won't belabor the point. Representative Anderson made reference to 6 to 8 years ago, they discovered that they were essentially unorganized. And let me explain the reason for that. It was in about that time frame that the Department of Agriculture decided to refresh all the organizational paperwork that they had with local fire departments who were contracting with the state. I guess unsurprisingly, they wanted to make sure that, in fact, the organizations at the local level existed, because if the state was going to contract with an organization, they wanted to make sure that the articles of incorporation and the board and everything was in place. What they discovered, I think, was a little bit of a surprise, but not really a surprise to those of us who have been around fire service for a long time, is that a lot of times they made sure that they had the individuals and the equipment and the trucks way before they got into the organizational part of the deal. So the fire departments across the state have been refreshing their organizational makeup, and sincerely, they are organized a lot of different ways. And what I think Representative Anderson and the situation down in Canton is not unique, but it's fairly unusual, and it probably speaks, it's one more way that departments can organize where you have a little bit of a separation between the personnel and the equipment. And I think it's just one more way for us to make sure that we've got equipment in the hands of volunteers, and anything you can do to expedite that is in everybody's best interest. And it's for that here that I'm here to support the bill this morning, and I sure hope you pass it. So thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Willard. Do we have any further proponent testimony this morning? Further proponent testimony? Do we have any opponents? Any opponents for HB 1204? Nice. Looks like we won't need to have a rebuttal in that case. Do we have any committee questions? All right. Then we'll move on to committee discussion or action.
Madam Chair, I move to pass.
We have do pass from Representative Duvall, second from Representative Bartling. Representative Duvall, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Madam Chair, just thank you, Representative Anderson, for bringing this forward.
Thank you. We'll move to calling the roll on 1204 as amended. Secretary, go ahead and call the vote.
Representative Bartling?
Aye.
Beal?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
May?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Willitson?
Aye.
Rosam?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
15 yay.
No nay. Thank you, Madam Secretary. We have 15 yays, no nays. 1204, as amended, has passed.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Solem.
I would move Title Amendment 1204 FTA.
We have a motion from Representative Solem and a second from Representative Wick to amend the title. Do you have any discussion on that, Representative? Nope, no discussion.
Makes it technically correct.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? As the title amendment has passed. Do we have any other anything for the good of the committee today? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Where'd that come from down there? Representative Latterell, second from Representative Solem. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.